the bump and run, the Bristol move.
That's aggressive, but it's that's good. Good heart racing.
Oh!
He puts him out of the groove there.
Oh, man!
Will he get the bumper? Yes, he does. Here comes Logano. Logano on the inside. A drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
The back end of the 18 kick out.
Yeah, he got into it right there.
Moved him out of the way.
It's almost too early to be racing that hard for the lead, wasn't it?
Never too early to be racing for the lead.
At Bristol.
At Bristol.
Man, this is one of the biggest wins of my career.
It's the bump and run,
baby!
Yeah, welcome to the Bump and Run podcast. I'm your host, Michael D.Y., joined by my two best friends, Matt the Statman Riley and Eric Daytona-Ron. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys had yourselves a Christopher Bell type of weekend, because he was the big winner down in Homestead, Miami. Got himself locked into the round of four for the second year in a row. And if you're listening to our betting segment at the end of last episode, Daytona Ron told you to pick Christopher Bell. He said he's clutching the playoffs, and guess what? He delivered once again. That's the second pick in a row that Daytona Ron got. So big congratulations to him. But first, before we get started, make sure you like, share, subscribe. Podcast available on all podcast platforms every Tuesday night. Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and more. And make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. We're getting close to the end of the season where we'll probably try to do like one episode a month or something, but we're definitely going to slow down. And you know how the off season goes. Sometimes we end up skipping more than just a month or so. But I want to work on some more content on the YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe there. Might be putting something together in the off season that you don't want to miss.
You're starting an OnlyFans too, aren't you?
I am. Well, it's called OnlyMans, and it's just dudes showing off not our abs, but our tight round bellies.
The dad bods, baby.
The dad bods. You guys want to join my only dad's website? Matt, you're a dad. You could join, no problem.
Dad,
show it off. You know, have you pictures of you like doing the laundry,
grilling, cutting grass,
washing dishes, like all this stuff that like women fantasize of their men actually doing. Like, we'll just put out pictures and maybe it'll become a hit. You know, it's like, oh, here he is writing poetry for me. Something
be in our calendar.
How do you know I don't already write poetry?
You want to know what? I don't know that, and I would be really surprised if you do. Do you have a secret little book you're writing down poems?
Can I
tell you, that reminds me of, I got chirped once outside of a hockey game from a security attendant. Did I ever tell you guys this? So you'll get where I'm going with this story.
Whitey, you have a story about getting chirped like anywhere you go.
So me and Luke are walking out of the Mohegan Sun Arena at KC Plaza up in Wilkes-Barre, finished watching a hockey game. And I walk out and the moon is huge, right? But there's a crazy cloud around the moon too, where the clouds lit up real cool. It was a really cool thing, like a really cool looking moon. So I went and I took a picture of it. I go, man, I got to get a picture of that. And as I'm taking a picture, an old security guard, 70 some years old, retired guy, he goes, well, you're going to write a poem about it too? And I was devastated. Absolutely crushed.
And that's true because you still remember it. If you didn't remember it, it wouldn't have affected you. But since you remembered it, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Whitey's the type of guy who would get punched in the nuts by an 8-year-old at like a Santa parade.
Yeah.
Well, you know, no, I never got hit by a kid. I did work a lot of Santa parades for the radio though. But man, yeah, that fucking security guard, he really rocked me into my core. That was 3 years ago. That may be 4 or 5 years ago. That might have been before the pandemic. It's a whole different world since the last time I got chirped by that guy. But fellas, how's your weekend? Tuesday show, baby. We're off the rails.
It was all right. Friday took it easy. I think I was in bed by about 8:30 on Friday. Saturday I went, there was a little wine festival at my parents' camper, went up there, met up with, my buddy Dirt that we usually go to Pocono with. And we, had ourselves a time up there, drank some good wine, and bought a few cases to bring home. That was Saturday, and then Sunday was race day. And for once in these playoffs, we finally got something worth doing this fucking podcast for. So that was good.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely an amazing race. I can't wait to talk about it. But first, fellas, I found the picture on Instagram. Isn't that a wild fucking... Doesn't that look like a spaceship invading?
What, are you going to write a poem about it?
Anyways, that happened... That happened in 2017. That's how long ago it stuck in my head for 5 years. I'm sorry, Matt. How's your weekend?
It's good, man. It's good. Finally got out hunting. Saw some deer. Didn't bring anything home, but that's okay because, you know, as Eric can attest to, any day in the woods is a good day. Watched a lot of college football on Saturday, Sunday again, race day. You know, dedicated myself to the race and the race only. NFL took a back seat and, full concentration went to the race, and man, I picked a great race to do that with, because as you guys said, it was a phenomenal race. So, I already peeked ahead at the schedule too. The Jets, the weekend of the championship race, the Jets are a Monday Night Football game that weekend. So I lucked out. So, you know, it's full attention to NASCAR these last few weeks. And, you know, Without getting too far into it, because I'm sure we will this week, next week, and the following week, we know what these next two tracks have been producing the last couple of years. So I'm hoping that we can get some knockout races, get surprised, and get some knockout races to finish out the year. But as far as the Bump and Run podcast is concerned, the season's over. The championship was won at Homestead, like it rightfully should be. Christopher Bell is our champion, and it was a fun season, guys.
It was, and
he backs it up too, because in the Winston Cup, he'd be the champion in those points too. So any of you people that said no, look, multiple, you know, playoff scenarios, Christopher Bell's your champion. You know, it's just that race, it's certain. I'm with you, Matt. That is what you need for a championship caliber race.
Well, I tell you what, we have been watching the Winston Cup point standings in our group chat. The only thing is, though, we do have two more races to talk about. Unfortunately, Homestead isn't the finale, because it damn well should be. It was fantastic. But Christopher Bell is only 46 points ahead in the old Winston Cup format. William Byron could still win this Winston Cup championship with Martinsville and Phoenix coming up. But to watch that race on Sunday and think we should finish our season out at any other track besides Homestead, I can't fathom what the people in NASCAR are thinking.
It was making me sick. Honest to God, like, it was like I was watching that race and I was trying to enjoy it to the fullest, which I was. But in the back of my mind, since the racing was so good and the race was good as a whole, that's all I could think about was, oh my God, this isn't the championship race. We're going to Phoenix. So, like, as good as it was kind of like an eye-opening, like, race where it just, I don't know, it made you realize that Phoenix is probably not it. Well, we know it's not it.
Yeah, no, we know, but let's not harp on it. Let's talk about the NASCAR news. We only have a couple pieces of news this week. Chicago Street Course race length has been shortened for 2024. I thought this was pretty interesting. They've cut the race by 25 laps for the Cup race and 5 laps for Xfinity. And the purpose is to help alleviate some of the people that the city needs to hire for crowd control, like security, et cetera, like that. So it could help help tear down the event quicker at the end of the weekend, because like last year, those roads were open Monday morning, you know, and I guess the city didn't expect to spend so much taxpayer money. What do you guys think about the race being cut down, though?
Cutting 25 laps off the race. So what, the workers get out of there an hour earlier?
About, like, yeah.
What if it pours like it did, but next year it doesn't stop and they have to go into Monday? Hell. Then what? What if it rains Monday all day Monday and they have to go into Tuesday? Then what?
Yeah, that couldn't have been the only excuse.
Right.
Has to be other reasons for doing it.
I think it was it's mostly to appease the city and kind of make them happy. Well,
you know what it was? There was probably some kind of greasy handshake behind doors that says, hey, we'll give you it was a money deal. Yeah. We'll give you this much, because the city was bitching about money. They probably made a greasy handshake deal behind the scenes that said, okay, we'll cut it back 25. You still give us and allow us this. That's probably what happened.
Listen, not to be combative, but like, and I was like kind of saying it tongue in cheek, but like, seriously, what do they do? What does a city, don't even call it Chicago, call it any city in America. Obviously you need to get your grid back up and running. What does happen if you get one of those? Remember Texas a couple of years ago? Yeah. We were waiting until Thursday to run that race. So what happens if like a catastrophic event does happen where we can't get it in until Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning?
I know there's contingency plans because they did talk about that last year with all the rain. I'm almost certain that they couldn't run that race past like Monday. Like they had to get it in by Monday and that was it. Or maybe Tuesday at the latest, but I don't think Tuesday was an option. That's kind of why
what do they do? Like do they just scratch a race? Like if they if they can't get it in, like they just have to scratch it and like no one runs there.
25 race season.
Yeah.
Like, is that just what happens then?
I'm sure there's some sort of contingency plan. Like, oh, then we move it to this course on this date. You know, like, I don't know, though.
You know how hard it is with the schedule the way it is. I don't, because, like, for as long as I've been watching, I can't recall a time where, like, they just, for weather, like, they just never got the race in.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, whatchamacallit, that Texas race, too, that they did get in on a Thursday. Was it a Thursday or was it a Wednesday?
It was either a Wednesday or a Thursday. We waited all week for it.
Yeah.
It was during COVID.
I want to say it was Thursday. I remember them talking about it then where it's like, well, if we don't get it in today, we don't get it in at all.
And yeah,
I can't remember I can't remember what the actual plan was. This is one of those things. I think we need a tweet to Bob Pockrass one day when he's not really busy on it. That way he actually sees it and he could possibly answer, you know?
Yeah, that's an off-season Bob Pockrass tweet.
But that is we'll have to set a reminder for that one because I am curious. Or maybe
one of our listeners knows, and if you guys do by any chance, feel free, please comment, because I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot to respond to Ray Scrubs' comment on the last video. But he was talking anyway, I don't want to get into it right now. Well, I guess I will because I kind of brought it up. But remember last week we were complaining that like the season's a little too long. There wasn't a whole lot of action going on. He kind of put it into perspective. He's like, yeah, there's only about like a handful of good races all season that are like worth remembering, even going back to the 90s and 2000s. And I was like, you know what? That is a good point. You put it into perspective. So Ray Scrub, I meant to comment back on that post and I saw it today. I just didn't get a chance to type it out, but, I thought that was pretty well thought out. Back to news. The Tuesday's off the rails and my ADD is like all over the place. I'm sorry, guys. Chandler Smith will not return to college in 2024. All the rumors are he's expected to head over to Gibbs. Now it's kind of making sense. Like, oh, college seems to be losing all their guys. Daniel Hemric's moving up from the Cups, from Xfinity Series to the Cup Series. Justin Haley took off. He's going to Rick Ware Racing now. Now Chandler Smith's leaving the Xfinity Series. I'm wondering, is this why AJ Allmendinger's kind of been in limbo where it's like, is he coming back to Cup? Is he coming back to Xfinity? Nobody really knows. Just wonder what you guys think of the whole colleague situation, really, that's been going on the last couple months.
I think it's been a disaster, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I just think it makes them look bad as a team all around. Like, you know, we've talked about them, you know, in the last couple of years as like one of these teams. Oh shit, they're getting their stuff together as this, you know, backmarker team, you know, coming up with Trackhouse. And now Trackhouse, like, they are an established, they are, you know, one of the top teams now, and they hold themselves as a top team. And I think of them, and I think they're respected as that, you know, as one of them. And Colleague just seems, their moves just seem to be all over the place. They're not running well anymore. Like, they were both neck and neck coming up, and now one has taken that leap forward, and it seems like Colleague just stayed where they were. And I don't know if it's internally whoever's in charge of making those decisions or what, but they are not clicking over there at Colleague right now.
Yeah, it seems like something's up, like maybe something behind the scenes that we don't know about even. I don't know. You know, I haven't really seen any rumors behind why are all these moves happening. You know, just a couple months ago, you know, you look at Justin Haley and AJ Allmendinger, and they seem like a match made in heaven as far as teammates go. They seem very close. They call each other son and father.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like Matt Rice
Matt Colleague and Chris Rice.
That's what it is. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Chris Rice, Matt Colleague, they seemed like they really embraced Haley and Allmendinger. It seemed like it was a really tight-knit group that seemed like a lot of fun to be a part of. And for whatever reason, it's all falling apart, and it's just curious as to what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm also interested, too. Where's Noah Gregson fit into this whole deal? You know, there was a lot of rumors swirling once he finished his whole NASCAR suspension deal. Like, oh, will he end up in the Xfinity Series for Cog? Will he end up in the Cup Series for Cog? No announcement on that at all, and I haven't heard any more rumors swirling about him going anywhere yet. I'm sure he's going to end up somewhere for next season. I just wonder if there's a lot of moving pieces, and they're kind of just reacting to all those moving pieces. I listened to the Justin Haley interview with Dale Jr. a couple weeks back, and it seems like he kind of blindsided Colleague, I think. I don't think they really realized he was looking to go somewhere else, and then he kind of dropped a bomb on them. So maybe they're just all reacting to that, you know? And who knows? Ship falls, you know, they all kind of fall too, you know?
Well, it starts right there, Whitey, with what you said about, you know, Haley leaving that team. Now, we would have called him crazy. We did call him crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Because we thought Colleague was one of the upcoming teams. And to go to the team that he went to, Rick Ware, it was like, what?
Yeah.
So right there, you knew there's an issue. Something isn't going on there that he saw, that he didn't like where it was going. And maybe it's a situation like it was, you know, with Petty, where it's like he knew that this car and they're just trying to make money and this is a business deal. And, you know, I think drivers get a sense of that nowadays. And,
yeah.
Hey, Haley's young. He has his whole career ahead of him. He's not going to waste a few years on a team that isn't really going anywhere. So I think that was a big, you know, writing on the wall, you know, when that whole thing happened where he left and to go to Rick Ware, like you're leaving that team to go to there. So yeah, I don't know. Interesting. But if you're calling, you want to have, you know, your drivers locked down, and you had to, like Matt said, you know, you had like, that could have, you know, you have the veteran and Dinger to mentor, you know, Haley. And I don't know. Yeah, just internally, I think people are maybe sensing something.
Yeah,
and putting it in there, like, you know, like you got to do what you got to do for your own good. And as a driver, you know, sometimes you just you have to do that's best for your career going forward. So
I wonder too. I wonder too how much sponsorship has to do with it too. Like maybe they need like more guys to come in with money too, because it seems like Colleague, for the most part, kind of self-funds themselves through Leaf Filter, which is Matt Colleague's his company and everything. I think the most interesting part of the whole entire thing, and I don't remember if we talked about it back a couple weeks ago, but Justin Haley said when he got to Rick Ware Racing, Brad Keselowski made the decision whether to sign him or not. Like, he had to sit down with Brad Keselowski because now Rick Ware has they have an alliance with Roush Fenway Keselowski, and they're going to be on the same campus as well too. Not the same shop, but they're like pretty close. And so Brad Keselowski is making the decision. So maybe that kind of lured him away too. I don't know. Again, we're kind of talking all just speculation of the entire thing. But what do you think? Maybe these guys are just getting poached. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Joe Gibbs has all these openings and they don't have drivers. Maybe they're going out and poaching guys, too. Maybe they poached Chandler Smith and said, like, hey, come on over here. You know,
I mean, it's possible. I mean, no, it feels like in today's climate and how, you know, you could jump from team to team, like nobody's safe right now.
No.
You know, like you don't know what the next move could be, because, you know, we've talked about it before where they sign multi-year deals. They never say how many years. So,
no.
You know, you're right. They could, you know, no one's safe. You don't know where you're going to go from Xfinity. There's no, you know, Chevy drivers are going to Toyota now. Look at the Carson Hocevar thing, you know, and the John Hunter thing. Like, they've gotten a lot more lenient with letting these young drivers switch manufacturers and drive for other, you know, manufacturers and teams and stuff. So Yeah, it could be a scenario where it's just like, hey, you know, I think the drivers are taking it into their own hands too and like dictating where they go. Like, I know we talk kind of shit on him, but the Benedetto situation, he's doing the same thing. Like,
yeah,
he's kind of, hey, doing what he thinks is best. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, hopefully for Justin Haley and that front, you know, it works out with that RFK alliance over there at Rick Ware.
I looked it up really quick, too, because I couldn't remember for sure. Chandler Smith was a KBM guy in the truck series also. So yeah, maybe Toyota was like, oh, we let him go. Let's get him back into the fold, too, and kind of lured him away from calling and got him back into the Toyota camp. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And then the final piece of news I have, not really NASCAR related, but NASCAR adjacent, Kyle Larson's High Limit Sprint Car Series has purchased Tony Stewart's All-Star Circuit of Championship Tour series. So it's a Dirt World thing, but it involves two Cup Series guys. What do you guys think about Tony Stewart selling off his dirt promotion to Kyle Larson? I know, Matt, you sent it to us earlier. So
I think it's smart on Tony's part. I mean, we've said it here, you know, quite a few times that we think Tony's got too much on his plate. You know, how could he not? He's got so many different entities going on that maybe it's time to just kind of, you know, let go of some of maybe, I don't know what's important to Tony. I don't know what his priorities are. I have no idea. But yeah, like maybe this was lower on his list where he's like, I can probably get rid of that and be okay. So maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah, it seems Tony hasn't really been doing a lot of dirt racing anyways. He's been doing mostly like funny car stuff. So, or drag car stuff. So maybe that's it. He's like, oh yeah, I'm off the dirt now. I can't compete because I haven't been doing it as often as I should to stay to that level. Cause man, those dirt guys, like you have to be out there every single week to be able to compete. You can't just be like a one-off guy. That's why Kyle Larson still does it so much. But yeah, I don't know. He's like, yeah, push it off.
I mean, you look at the Cup Series this year and Stewart Haas Racing, not something you want to see if you're Tony Stewart. So maybe, you know, the writing's on the wall there where it's like, hey, I'm not putting out the product that my fans deserve. So maybe let's refocus on NASCAR instead of the dirt world where, like you said, Whitey, he's not, you know, putting a lot of time and effort down there. So why even have it around? Let's take whatever we can and put it back into the Cup side and just focus on his drag racing and whatnot. I think this is a good thing for Stewart Haas Racing. If you're a fan of Stewart Haas Racing and the drivers, and, you know, I know, you know, Josh Berry next year is going to, you know, take over the reins and, you know, become the new face of that team. And, you know, I think it's nothing but good for him seeing, you know, with that going on.
That, that Josh Berry thing reminded me of, completely unrelated, on Reddit, there was a thread where they're like, do you think they're rushing Josh Berry up to Cup too soon, considering his performance this season in the Xfinity Series? And the top comment was actually from Dale Jr. himself, where he said, I haven't given him the cars he needed to perform this season. It's more reflective on the equipment than the driver, and Josh Berry's Cup ready. I just thought that was really interesting to go to bat on Reddit for your guy and your driver, you know? I don't know. I just thought I would add
Ray's,
that.
Ray's the best, man.
Oh yeah. But, that's all I have for NASCAR news. Let's move on to the NASCAR weekend. Cause we had a triple header, truck series. Carson Hocevar got himself the win, locked himself into the championship race at Phoenix. Sam Mayer got the win in the Xfinity Series race, did the same, got himself locked in to the championship race. And then on Sunday, Christopher Bell led twice for 26 laps, locking himself in a week after a lot of people criticized him for not taking out Kyle Larson last week, even though he said he had no opportunity to, if it even would have crossed his mind. 3 hours, 11 minutes, 54 seconds was the time of the race. We saw 25 lead changes among 9 different drivers, 5 cautions for 35 laps. Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, William Byron, and AJ Allmendinger, your top 5. So the Dinger rounding it out. Speaking of colleague, fellas, do you want to jump into the race grades? And we'll start with Matt this week. Matt, what's your race grade?
I gave it an A minus, and I wanted so badly to give it an A plus. I thought the first stage and a half was okay. You know, it was all right. I just have, you know, Homestead's my favorite mile and a half track. It's a top probably five or six track for me overall. And I just have such high expectations that, you know, maybe it's a me thing that I thought it was going to be, you know, knockout racing the whole time, but maybe I should have, you know, being a NASCAR fan, I should probably know, listen, you got to wait until stage three to really make up, you know, a full mind. You got to watch the whole movie before you make up your mind, whether you liked it or not.
Oh, right? Yeah. So, there could be a weird twist in the middle that you don't like, you know?
Right. So, you know, that's kind of shame on me, but no, I thoroughly enjoyed the race. I thought it was probably the best race of the playoffs, like Eric alluded to. I love Homestead so much, and I've got a little bit more on Homestead in a little bit, but for right now, you know, yeah, we got to see passing. We got to see the end of the race. That was awesome. That was, you know, we got to see Kyle Larson, the, you know, probably the championship favorite, make a boneheaded mistake, you know, that man. Made. We had it all. I feel like that just made for a race that I would have loved to see be our championship race.
I agree. What a championship race it would have been too. How about you, Eric? What'd you think of it? Did it get the plus? Did it get the full grade, or was it a minus?
I gave it an A. Just a straight up A. I didn't give it the plus either. It was good. You know, I think for playoffs, yes, by far, like I said, best race in the playoffs. You know, for me, it did have everything, like Matt said. It, you know, the essence of what we need in the playoffs, playoff drivers involved in stuff. You have Christopher Bell, where he was essentially nowhere all race long. And short run car came on at the end. Great battles all day long, though, on those restarts going wide. You saw, this is where I really enjoyed the race, was you saw the driver talent have to take full effect.
Oh, yeah.
In that car. Like this was a driver's race where it was in their hands.
I feel like I saw him five wide at one point on a restart. And it's like insane.
And this car, it kept stepping out on these drivers, and it was very uncomfortable. And I think that produces great racing when these drivers are uncomfortable behind the wheel. When that car steps out, I think it was Harvick. I don't know how he saved the car, but the wiggle that he had coming off the turn, I thought for sure he was going to lose it, but he didn't. And, you know, Bubba even said, like, hey, my car, like, I can't trust it like I did the other day in practice and qualifying and whatnot. And when you have that in the back of drivers' heads and you see them up against the wall running that close lap after lap, and like, you can't screw up, you have to take the air away. It was a driver's race. And I appreciate that, just as much as I do other, you know, but as of late with how much downforce really impacts and dominated this sport, people would say these cars are on rails. This was a breath of fresh air to really see the drivers and to see them really wheel these cars around that racetrack was awesome.
Just the pure talent that it takes to rip that wall too. It's like, it's, you see all these different camera angles of these cars running literally 5 inches off the wall, and it's unbelievable. And like Dale Whitey, I think you sent it, you know, Dale Earnhardt in the Xfinity race, they had his camera and he was ripping the wall, and you know, he had all the data getting fed to him from the crew chief and the spotter. And he pretty much essentially said, like, guys, stop talking. I need to concentrate at what I'm doing. I need to get into a rhythm, and I can't do that while everyone's talking. And I was like, my God, that guy's so relatable. Cause you know how it is, you know, driving down the highway, going to on a trip or something, there's traffic all over the place, and you got this person talking, you got the radio going, you got this going on. And it's just like, guys, everyone just quiet for a couple minutes.
Concentrate.
So I can navigate through this. It's like, my God,
I'm in Center City, Philly. I need to turn the radio down and just focus.
Yes, just completely focus. And like, that was funny. But yeah, it's just, I always admire at these tracks where you're ripping the like, where that's the preferred line all the way up at the top. It's just always so impressive to me.
I forget if it was Rick Allen or if it was Jeff Burton, but they brought it up, the nervousness, and I related so much, the nervousness in a construction zone on the highway where they have the Jersey barriers, and it feels like you're so close to that Jersey barrier. And I think Jeff Burton was like, yeah, you guys, like, that's like 5-10 feet away. You don't even realize it. It's that on edge and you're doing 80. Now imagine being like don't know, five eighths of an inch away, you know, like an inch away from the wall, doing 100 miles per hour more than that. Like I'd be freaking the fuck out. And that's why I gave it an A plus. I thought it was the best race of the year. It had everything I looked for. We had playoff driver drama. We had issues, great restarts, battles throughout. We saw different strategies. We even saw a little strategy in there with Denny Hamlin and going a little longer than other guys. It gave me everything I look for. Like, and I think it's because this is the best mile and a half we have. It's a true oval. It's not a D-shaped. I think Charlotte comes in second there. And yeah, just a great race all around. I wish it was our final race of the year, especially with that.
I really enjoy how all of the races lately have been 3 hours, like almost either on a dot or a little bit before too. So like I have appreciated that. You know, Mother Nature that we talked about, you know, in the beginning, like Texas and going long. We really haven't had a crazy, you know, extended race in a while. So it's, you know, these 3 hour races have been real nice.
Absolutely. Even this whole season, I feel like I know there was a statistic where people talked about like the weather impact at track, but like for the Cup Series on Sundays, I feel like we really haven't sat through a lot of rain delays or anything.
Right. And as soon as like, you know, we were talking about earlier, that just made me think about that. I'm like, you know what? Like these races have been, you know, nice and short, and we haven't really dealt with a lot of weather. So, I don't know if it's that big of a deal, actually, now that I think about it.
So we'll end up seeing Martinsville on a Tuesday night because
yeah, it's rained out. We should have kept our mouths shut. Yeah. Damn it.
Thanks.
Anyways, let's jump into the checkers and wreckers.
20 wide for the lead. One lap to go.
It's this week's checkers and wreckers.
And since we started with Matt for the race grades, we'll start with Daytona. Ron, what'd you like? What didn't you like of the race weekend?
I'm going to give my records first. We will go with the 17.
Yeah.
I thought maybe last year we saw what Bell did, back-to-back races, needing to get in there, a little bit of spark out of him.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought I was going to see maybe not that, but I thought he would have at least put up a better fight in these playoffs. And it seemed like certain teams, you look at Truex and that 19 team, as soon as the playoffs came around, bam, they stumbled and they fell off a cliff. It's almost like this 17 team just lost all of their fight, or they just lost whatever it is that they needed to keep going. They got to the next level when they got their wins, and they looked like they were going in the right direction. We're top tens, top fives, and running really, really well. As soon as the playoffs come around, they'll flat on their face.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just shocking because Brad ran well yesterday. You know, and it was just weird to see the six car run well and not the 17. They tend to have similar days when they go to the racetrack as far as speed goes. So one to have speed and run up front, and one not to, and the one not to was your playoff driver. And it's pretty much, you know, he's got a win to advance and get in. And man, it's just, it's not looking good at all for a lot of these teams here. But yeah, that 17, man, I was pulling for them. They were that underdog that kind of kept going through, that made it this far. And I think this is where, you know, experience matters a little bit. The pressure, you know, gets ramped up in the playoffs. So, you know, new to this, they'll learn from it. But yeah, I'd erect a 17, just not doing what they need in the playoffs here.
Yeah, I noticed it too, especially like last week, Brad Keselowski ran really well. This week, Brad Keselowski ran really well. Just looking at Buescher's finishes during the playoffs, he's had a real up and down. His first round was phenomenal, but he still finished 27th at Kansas. And then his second round was just rough. Like he squeaked by with a 14th at Texas, a 19th at Talladega, and then a 7th at the Roval that kind of helped get him back into this round. And he finished 11th last week at Vegas. I know Brad Keselowski had the better car last week in Vegas, but yeah, 21st in Homestead, really not doing much. especially like you said, when those cars usually run pretty similar to each other.
Yeah.
How about your
my checkers goes to the race winner, Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
Man, you know, this kid every year seems to be taking these leaps that we've seen in recent years, like William Byron has. And, you know, it takes a certain special it to be able to rise to the occasion when you need to.
Yeah.
And he and his team, they seem to be able to answer. And, you know, I forget who it was. I think it was somebody on the broadcast mentioned, like, Kevin Harvick, how like he was the closer. Yeah. This is his last season. And now we're seeing, you know, Christopher Bell kind of, you know, showing a little bit of shades of closer-esque, you know, in these last few years here, where, you know, all race long or all season long, you don't really hear or do anything flashy, but, you know, come playoffs, come time when you need him to get the job done, he just seems to get it done. And with 48 to go, or 46, I think it was, that restart, where they went back to back, he gained so many spots at two excellent restarts.
Yeah.
That his car was a short run car, and there was the perfect opportunity. He jumped on it. People went wide, squeezed. He went to the bottom. Everyone wants to talk about riding that wall up top. Christopher Bell's car was the best on the bottom.
Yeah.
So while everyone was fighting and they were fighting loose and everyone was washing up the racetrack, losing momentum, he kind of arced into the turn a little bit, different than those guys would, and he would hug the bottom, and he was able to still throttle up and get that exit and stay with the momentum of the high line. And that's how he was able to make some of those passes via the bottom and going three wide, which was awesome to see at the end of a race and multiple restarts where he did do that and gained spots on all of the restarts and eventually the lead and took home the checkered flag and solidified himself in the championship four, where, you know, man, this championship four, it's, I'm going to be pumped when it's all said and done, no matter what. And, you know, we talked about, I don't know if it was on here or via text, the young guns are showing out,
you know,
and, it's going to be cool to see like maybe a fresh four, we'll call it.
Yeah. You want to know what? it could be a fresh one. I mean, if Denny doesn't make it for the second year in a row, if Truex doesn't make it again, like, yeah, it is. It's all young guys. I know.
I love it. I love it, man. It's the turning over, man.
Has Blaney made the round of four yet in his career? Because he seems like the most veteran driver that's on like the edge right now, like on that cutoff line. You know, but yeah,
I don't know if he ever made a final four.
I don't think he has.
Yeah, let me
no, look. Because they're always filled with MTJ, Denny,
yeah,
like, Logano,
but there was all, yeah, he just never was able to beat out those vets.
Let's see what his top finish in the Cup Series has been since he started.
Best
finish is seventh. So yeah, he never made the round of four. So if he could, he's 10 points to the good right now. If he could get into the final four, yeah, it could be a fresh four. And I like that, man. Someone should trademark that shit. That's really good. Yeah, man, I got to agree with your checkers though. Christopher Bell, just one that could perform under pressure. And it seems like he takes advantage of other people's mistakes, keeping it clean. That's all you could ask for a driver. How about you, Matt? What's your checkers and wreckers?
So we were just talking about him. My checkers is going to Blaney. So not only for his performance and putting himself in a good position heading into Martinsville, you know, plus 10 to the good, you know, as long as he runs a clean race, he's making it to geez, I almost said he's making it to Homestead.
Yeah.
He's making it to Phoenix for the championship race. Not only for that, but also for what he did afterwards with the race. You know, he had a little dust up with Denny throughout the race and just kind of sticking up for himself. You know, he called Denny a hack, kind of, you know, giving him a dose of his own medicine. And I like when these guys are standing up for themselves against guys like, you know, Harvick's been fine, you know, recently, but in the past, Harvick's been known to kind of pick on some of the younger guys, Denny picking on some of the younger guys.
Yeah.
And I like seeing those guys kind of get a dose of their own medicine when it's called for. So Yeah, I just loved seeing that.
Apparently, I didn't get a chance to listen to Action's Detrimental, Denny Hamlin's podcast, but he responded to the hack comment and he broke down his hack move and the reasoning and everything. So I'm pretty excited to check that out just to see what happened. What's your check or what's your records though?
My records, we've been alluding to it all season, all episode today. I almost just said it before. It is NASCAR. NASCAR is getting my records for taking the championship away from Homestead.
Yeah.
I just can't stress it enough. I don't care if I'm beating a dead horse, if I sound like a broken record, good. I want to shout it from the rooftops that we need to get the championship as far away from Phoenix as possible, which is kind of Homestead if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, different ends of the country, you know. Yeah.
So we need to get Homestead their championship back.
See,
man.
It's either Homestead or it's Pocono in the mountains during fall. You know,
New Hampshire is actually probably
okay. Yeah, New Hampshire would be further up. Yeah, no, you're right. But yeah, no, I agree, man. I agree. NASCAR, what are you doing, Ben Kennedy? You need to get it together. And eventually,
I'll tell you what, Matt, to that point about Homestead, like, it just something, like I said, but I don't know if it was before the podcast, like everything about just looking at that, I still get the flashbacks of like when it was the championship race. And to me, it just creeped into the back of my head, like, man, we're going to Phoenix. And it's like, I would just get like kind of like sad about it. But to me, it's like, okay, yeah, Phoenix, I get it. They put a lot of money into it. They remodeled. But that doesn't do anything on track. I don't care if I'm in grandstands from the 70s and I'm eating, you know, and getting dripped on. But I don't care. I want the product on the racetrack to crown my champion to be a great race. And it's just not it. Like, I don't want to go to a race just because you got new suites and you're charging $10 more for a drink because you put $3 billion into it. No, give me a good product on the racetrack. I don't care about the amenities and you fixed it up. Give me a good race to crown the champion.
Dude, I feel the same exact way. And I don't want to call it nostalgia because we weren't children, right? It was just a couple years ago we were running at Homestead for the championship. But I always think about when I hear NASCAR championship, I think about, like you said before the podcast, you know, that yellow paint down by the pit wall where when the winner won the race and the champion, he's a champion. He goes down, he does the donuts, he kicks up the yellow dust, and you've got, you know, the nightlife of Miami and the beautiful backdrop, and it's nighttime at that point because the race, you know, transitioned to night. And just how good the racing was and just all of that put together, it just made for such a special – whenever I hear the NBC – I know us three, I know the joke, the inside joke, that I'm always playing the NBC, the NASCAR and NBC theme song because it's a great song.
It's a banger.
And the same vision, whenever I hear that song come up, it's always, you know, Rick Allen saying, you know, we're live at Homestead Miami Speedway to crown a champion tonight as the camera pans over the grandstands and down into the track area where it's jam packed and they're getting ready for a championship race. And yeah, you have all that with Phoenix, but it just, for me, doesn't have that feel to it. And maybe we're just getting older and we're now the old guy saying, it's not as good as it was back in our day. Maybe that's the case, but like, it's all that you put it together and it's just, there's a feeling to that Homestead championship.
It's missing something. Like it's like, I had a championship feeling watching that race. The racing on track gave me a championship feel because all the championship contenders were battling at a certain point of that race. Their season, their race was on the line.
Dude, it was not just it's just everything. Like, and it had the Daytona 500 feel to it where you waited all off season and you're so excited and it's all building up. We finally have it. Well, it's the same with the championship at Homestead. Was like, it just has that aura around it, I guess you could say. I don't know how else to put it. But it was something special, and Phoenix just doesn't have that feeling.
I think because not only did it have that championship feel to it, but you knew you were going to see a good racing product and show where you're like, oh, Miami, great racing in Miami. You know what I mean? Phoenix, we don't think, oh, Phoenix, eh. You just automatically go, eh. And then you carry that on. It's like, oh, now the championship is there. It's like, Yeah, but the race isn't that good. And I don't think we're just getting old because...
You start already with a sour taste in your mouth. You're already starting off on the wrong foot.
Exactly.
And that, I think that affects it, and it really does. You know, going into Miami, you know what you're getting, like you said, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Phoenix, you're starting off already knowing, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. And that's not how I want to start it.
Yeah. We don't get that transition into nighttime at Phoenix either, right? Because they're 2 hours back from us, so it's still relatively light out. It might be dark during the celebration or getting dark, but like, there's just something about that transition to night it just has that special feeling. And again, I know we're broken records. People are probably hitting the plus 15 second thing, speeding through the segment at this point. I get it, but you know, it's a
Daytona Run's pick already.
Yeah, it's a hill I will die on, a NASCAR hill I will die on.
No, you know what? We're not alone either. I've heard nothing but the same sentiment from everybody that Homestead's where it's at and Phoenix is not. I will say the Xfinity race does produce a cool sunset in Phoenix. That is a cool sunset, but we get a great sunset in Miami too. You know,
I'll tell you what, another like complimentary checkers that would I have to shout out. I'm not positive on this, but I'm almost positive. Shout out to Michael Jordan for he hasn't missed a single playoff race. He's been at the racetrack and he's been there. I love seeing that out of your owner and a guy like him, that where his brand, how big it is.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's going to be at the racetrack. Not just what that does for his race team, what that does for the sport of NASCAR is absolutely phenomenal. You know, you're going to spend $50 to go see a NASCAR race, sit in the grandstands, and you go out to the fanfare, you might see Michael Jordan. Like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Like, I have to give shout out MJ for showing up and not just buying into a sport just to try to make money, but being involved. And MJ, he loves it. And you could see that. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, we're, 20 or 25 years now post-career for MJ, and he still, to this day, has the biggest sports brand worldwide. Maybe Tiger Woods is right above him, but he's right there. It's still, to this day, the biggest sports brand available. And to your point, like, he is spending his time and his money at our sport, and he genuinely loves it, and he genuinely loves being there because he could do anything he wants in the world, and he chooses to be at the racetrack every week, and that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has been to every single playoff race so far.
Same tweet. I think it might have been Gluck or someone said it. Yeah.
And if it hasn't been everyone, I mean, NBC's pointing him out with the last four or five. So, like,
he's our Taylor Swift.
He is our Taylor Swift. MJ is our Taylor Swift. And
I love that comparison. Yeah, I love that.
it's true. Because even when we were at Pocono, how excited were we when we saw MJ's helicopter? That was it. We're like, holy shit, MJ's in Pocono, you know? But yeah, that's a good point out. Let's see. My checkers and wreckers. I'm just going to give my wreckers to Kyle Larson. I had nothing else to complain about with the race. And that was, I'm not even going to say it was a boneheaded move. It was just, it sucked. It sucked for him. Thankfully, he got himself locked in.
Blaney's day too.
He did almost ruin Blaney's day, and it kind of made me wonder. I'm like, why did you kind of go to the right instead of the left? Like, cut over to the left a little bit.
He would have wrecked Blaney if he didn't. So he took himself out.
His momentum was going to the right, I believe. Yeah,
but again, like, that stuff all unfolds so quick. So yeah, it just sucks for his day. It was kind of funny.
It's kind of just a racing thing. Like, you know, Blaney's running his race, Larson's running his race. He's doing his thing. He's doing his thing, and it was just it didn't work out. You know,
wait, maybe not wreck him for the move itself, but maybe the interview afterwards where he did everything but come out and say that was Ryan Blaney's fault. You know,
yeah.
He has a hard time saying that he did something wrong. And then I think he realized he backtracked a little bit and kind of then.
But then even at the end, he still threw it. But I'd like to see the data to see how much Blaney slowed down. I tell you what, during the whole entire thing, I saw him like speed up. I'm like, oh, great move to get that track position, that gain that that
he gained like 40 car lengths on.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Where like in the same one, I go, because I had him in fantasy too. And I go, and I wanted him to win over a new winner. That way it's easier for anyways. This is all going through my mind. I go, oh yeah, you fucking idiot. What'd you do? But no, I will wreck him for the interview after, because he put the blame on Blaney. He's like, oh, I didn't expect him to slow down that much. And then he watched the replay, kind of backtracked it, but then still threw it out like, but I'd like to see the numbers. I thought it was funny. A lot of people were tweeting, there's the best driver in the world right there for you. It's smashing into barrels. But again, it is. It's one of those racing deals. Like, it can happen to anybody, really. Brakes lock up at a road course how many times?
And I'll tell you what, you know, good thing that he did have the win, because you do have to respect him for knowing he was going to wreck the 12, and he just took himself out, went into the barrels. You know what I mean? Like, that was at least...
Oh, yeah.
It was the least he could have done. He knew... I think he knew, like Matt said, the way he tiptoed around it, he knew he sped in there. Yeah. He knew he was flying in there. He said he was trying to make up ground, and, you know, he was pushing the limit.
Yeah.
So you have one driver who's pushing the limit, and you have another driver who doesn't have a win, who is being conservative to try to not speed, because that's his whole championship right there. So you have two opposite ends of the spectrum, and a point in their season is. Larson with a win, he could afford to get a pit road penalty for speeding.
Yeah.
Blaney can't. Blaney, like we just said, he's never been to a championship four. He is going to be on the conservative side. So you can't blame, you know, Blaney for being conservative. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Eric Jones and how his team was conservative just so you don't screw up. And when you don't screw up, let others do that. And look what happened. So, I think it was Whitey, I think, who pointed it out that I think Blaney is on the old Joey Logano playoff run, where, you know, doing enough to get yourself by, and, you know, the old Penske just know how to manage the playoffs.
I'm trying to find it too, because even to that point, just playing very conservative, I think Mike Bagley tweeted it as a response to somebody, but Blaney had an issue at pit road on Saturday, where like either his tack was off during practice, he sped during practice. So I'm sure that was in the back of his mind too. Like, don't speed right here. Be a little conservative. Your lights are off or whatever. Unfortunately, I can't find it.
It was, let's call it what it was at the end of the day. Take all biases out of it and everything else. It was an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. It was.
Stinky. You know, it sucks that it happened.
Yeah. And then my checkers, I'm going to give it to a crew chief, Chris Gabehart. He was the only crew chief that I noticed, and I didn't hear anyone else mention on the broadcast besides for Denny Hamlin. I thought it was genius to split the first and second stages completely in half. I know a lot of guys needed tires early, and they were capitalizing on that, where just to have the foresight, give it up now to gain it later on in the stage, and it did. He gained a lot of stage points by doing it. He moved up, and I feel like Denny probably could have won that race if it wasn't for that mechanical failure and stuff. And so I just wanted to give it. I know Denny wrecked out, but I just wanted to give it to his crew chief this week, because I thought it was interesting to play a little tire strategy at Homestead, which is something you really don't see a lot. So. That was it.
It's smart when, you know, we've talked again in the past where these cars are all similar in speed. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when they're all similar in speed on the racetrack and it's hard to pass? We talked about the air bubbles that these cars create. Do something different. Just like you can't follow in the same wake as the driver in front of you. You have to get clean air, try something different. He's doing the top. You got to try to go to the bottom. Crew chief, you have to do something different as well. If everyone is doing the same strategy and cars are similar on speed, you know, there were certain cars that were battling that were right there that were very close. Tire strategy, do something different. So I always respect that because, you know, Kensett's old crew chief never would do anything wild. He would just go with the race. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, just do something different. Like it's obviously not working, you know? Yeah. So, Whitey, good checkers there, because I always appreciate when a crew chief takes a gamble, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him, and he sees himself sitting out 17 points, but that's no fault of the crew chief there. And that's my checkers and wreckers. Let's see. We talked about Blaney already. Of course, he led five times for 53 laps. Tyler Reddick led once for one lap. He started third and finished third, so he got himself a third place finish. William Byron, he led four times for 25 laps. Not a whole lot from Willie B. But you want to know what? I think he's racing smart, keeping himself above where he needs to be.
I've got a theory for him later on. We're making our picks.
Okay.
I've got a little scenario I want to lay out on the line. Just remind me.
All right, I like it. Fifth place was AJ Allmendinger. Not really much to talk about there. Bubba Wallace led once for nine laps. He finished sixth. Those are all of the guys who finished and led laps. Bad days, Brad Keselowski. He led four times for 16 laps early on, but he was involved in that Ross Chastain, John Hunter Nemechek, JJ Yaley wreck. He finished a few laps down. But I thought he looked really
good. He had a great day going, man. He did. He had a car, and he was battling up there. Like, when he got caught up in that wreck, I was like, oh, man. Because there was a moment of that race where I'm like, does Brad Keselowski win this race?
Yeah, I keep waiting for that first win from Brad as a team owner. And I thought early on, I'm like, oh, this could be his day, you know? Just kind of a bummer. Denny led four times for 31 laps. He had a failure, hit the wall, end of his day. Martin Truex Jr. led two times for 10 laps. His engine sounded terrible when he was on pit road. Just shit luck this whole playoffs. Just shit luck.
I honestly thought when his day was done, he was going to crawl out of the car and just start fist fighting his crew. James Smalls, I thought he was going to start swinging on people. I think he's had enough, man.
Do you think James Small makes it to next season?
No.
I don't think so either. There's no way, right? Like
It was okay when those guys were bickering, but they were winning. But when they're bickering and they're bitching at each other, and like, dude, it sounds genuine. Like, we don't know these guys, right? Like, we don't know them personally. So maybe they go in after the race and they're like, hey, no hard feelings and you know, let's bury the hatchet and move on. But it sounds pretty freaking personal when you hear MTJ, the calmest, coolest dude around, freaking out on what did he say? He said something like, you know, you're making me not want to do this anymore or something like that.
He said something along the lines where he's like, I want to quit. I want to quit right now.
Yeah. Like that's pretty freaking harsh. So no, I don't.
Especially
I just
after that blown call, you know, a week or so ago. Yeah. That was just, I kind of, man. We have a crew chief on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting silly season piece so far. Will James Small return as crew chief in the number 19 car? Let's see. And then Kyle Larson, he led three times for 96 laps. He hit those barrels. We talked about that. Other than that, that's pretty much all I have for the race. Do you guys have anything else to talk about? Anything that caught your eye during the race?
Hey, a question is... is Chase Elliott still suspended?
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus.
I know. He's not in the playoffs, so there's no real reason to talk about him.
That's the thing, though. His car is in the playoffs.
Dude, no, it was like...
His car is in the playoffs. Like the
owner's playoffs, yeah.
So where's he sitting right now in the owner's championship? He's sitting in eighth, 97 points back. He needs a win to get that nine car into the owner's championship at Phoenix.
Yeah, so, I was like, just me being a Chase fan, like, I totally understand you're not going to talk about the guy who's not in the playoffs. But it was like, I was looking, and it's like, dude, they haven't mentioned a word about him. Like, I haven't even really thought about him, you know, me being the fan of his. And it's like,
he's been running well.
Yeah, he's
been running well. Like,
he was top three,
I think, in average finish since he's come back.
He was just non-existent this weekend, and I just – selfishly just wanted to see him, you know, ruin the playoff parade and go finally get a win this season. I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, depends on what he brings. Hendrick's been good at Martinsville historically, so maybe that's his opportunity. I don't know. It's just, I know everyone who's not a Chase Elliott fan doesn't want to fucking hear about it. And I get it. I just wanted to bring it up for a second.
That goes to my point from a few weeks ago when I said how I feel like the flow of the broadcast changed come the playoffs, where they don't talk about the full field as much anymore. It's focused more on what is happening in live for playoff, you know, purposes. And, And you're right. Like it is a little bit different and they don't maybe go through, but yeah, there, cause there's certain people that probably were even missing that we normally maybe would talk about, but we're not even hearing it, you know?
And you want to know what that reminds me, that Ray Scrub brought that up in his comment too, where he's like, back in the day with the Winston Cup, like, of course they talked about the guys fighting for the cup, but they just kind of mentioned those while talking about the race itself and everyone else in the race. And I think that is something that the playoff kind of not hinders. I can't think of the right word, but it is a downfall of the playoffs where, like, if your guy's not in the playoffs, they're not talking about him unless he's, like, leading or something.
Yeah, the race changed for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. So there could be a little bit of dynamic with that, too. So I thought that was interesting. He just brought it up where he's like, back in the day, they really didn't focus too much on the cup. Oh, that was another point. Oh, that is, man, if you guys didn't read the comment, go and read the comment because he made a lot of great points. Back in the day with the Winston Cup points and everything, they talked mainly, the stories were about the money differences in finishing. So now, like, guys fighting, like, right on the line for 15th, that could be huge because now those guys are fighting for an additional, like, $100,000 for the season or whatever.
Yeah, I think the money and the wins back then was what really drove
the storylines and stuff. Yeah.
They were every position, like, that's what you hear Junior say all the time about his old man. You know, like, the finishing position mattered, you know, as far as, you know, that this, you know, Junior even mentioned where, like, yeah, like, if I came in 13th, that was fine because my sponsors, it all worked out.
Yeah.
You know, back then, no, if you came in 13th, you were screwed.
but at least to that point, too, it gives, you know, you something to talk about, too, where it's like, like, oh, well, they're fighting for 13th, and maybe they could increase it to... I had a thought, and then I lost it, and then I started talking, trying to... Man, my brain is fucking killing me today.
Wet noodle today, white man. Wet noodle.
I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. My back is hurting, so I'm, like, running on empty. Whatchamacallit? Man...
I'll tell you guys see?
No, that was what I was gonna say. Like those things still matter. The points still matter. The payouts, all that stuff. We just don't talk about it as a storyline on the broadcast. But like that stuff still matters to those teams and those drivers. Like the guy in 15th right now is still trying to get up to 14th in the standings, get his owner more money, and get the team in a better position. I think maybe it's just the way the broadcast just focuses on the playoffs. Maybe start peppering that stuff back in to create a bigger story for the season, not only just the playoff story. That was the point I was thinking.
Right. And because the whole you're alienating half of the sport, you know, when they get chopped off come playoff time when only 16 make it in. So, yeah, you keep sprinkling a little bit of the other stuff, the owners and all this. It kind of completes it again, brings it back together.
Yeah, make it a full package.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say before I got? Well, now I cut both.
Oh,
of you
was
guys
it
off.
Last week that someone did Matt? Did you wreck Daniel Suarez?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, at the Roval.
Well, I just saw too. Like he was racing the shit out of somebody that was the leader. Was it Larson? Was it Larson? He was like Suarez was about to go lap down.
Oh, yeah. He raced him to get his lap back. Yeah.
So hard. And I'm going, oh, my God, this is exactly what Matt was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going, and I think I even went to mention it to Dana. I go, look at this freaking asshole, the way he's driving right now. I go, you're going to be a lap down. You're not in the playoffs. What are you doing right now? Larson's the race leader. Like, you're going to be a lap down anyway. You know Larson's bad fast all day long. Even if you do try to stay in front of him, what are you going to do? He's going to get you in another lap.
Here's the thing. I could tell you what he's racing for, though. He is only 52 points behind Chase Elliott in 18th. So Chase Elliott's in 17th. He's in 18th. He's trying to get up to 17th. That's the highest he could finish in the standings after the recent.
I still don't think that that's no, worthy. Racing to
that's
go
still
left
money
out
though.
The
that's
in
still
the
money and
not
stuff.
A fucking
well,
prayer.
Dude. Well, that's
get
true.
It, it's for money, but at some point, like, dude, this it's get out of the like. These guys are racing for an actual championship, not 17th place. Get out of the way, like.
But
you've got to have awareness.
But though. that goes back to the point I was just trying to make, where big picture, the money still matters way more than that to him, you know? So if you take that part and you kind of create that storyline, like, oh yeah, Daniel Suarez, he's out of the playoffs, but man, he's still fighting for 17th place in the standings for the end of the year. That's so
no,
much
people,
more money
people
for the
team.
People
get pissed off if they say that. Battling well, the leader for 17th, I well, would throw yeah. my remote at the television.
Well, I guess, I don't know. I'm just thinking how you could spin it, to make sense. Cause
it well, yeah, you'd have to word it a little bit differently or yeah. you know, show it to the people in a way that it doesn't sound like, oh, this guy wrecked the leader for 17th overall in the
yeah.
season. You know?
No. Yeah. I get it. But yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, there is bigger storylines to it all. And maybe that's the part that's missing from nowadays. Once you get to the playoffs, those storylines kind of go away. I don't know. You guys have anything else to add, though?
I think we're all right.
Yeah, I think we covered.
Boys.
What's that?
Used to be an exciting sentence to say.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be.
I hope so. I am not one of those guys that has to be right. Please be wrong, Matt. Like, yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. But before we get on to Martinsville, there was one last piece of business here on the Bump and Run podcast. Everyone loves to talk about the winner, Christopher Bell, on a Monday or Tuesday in this case. But we like to talk about the guy who came in last, and it was one Harrison Burton. His day ended after lap 165 for overheating issues. I don't even think they mentioned it on the broadcast either.
Now, we use skim over, you know, like last, because it's same people over and over again, you know, no big deal, normal people. But I don't know them directly. I don't have them right now, but there were some stats, and I was all season long giving Harrison Burton the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I feel like you two were always like, fuck Harrison Burton, get him out of here, like, kind of like ripping on him.
No, but, I came around too a little bit after hearing an interview.
He
with
never
him.
Came Someone around to him. I don't dislike the guy. I just don't think he. I don't think he's ready for the Cup Series. I don't
and,
think he has.
And Matt, some of these stats I saw, and I don't know what they are, but they are terrible. Like, he is like behind like Ty Dillon, and so like he is just where that car should be, and where what's happening, like. It's not looking good for Harrison Burton, man.
He's sitting 31st in the points. If it wasn't for Ty Dillon being behind him, he would be the last place full-time driver. And I'm pretty sure at that point, like, if he goes like two more seasons like this, they could lose their charter, you know? So bad.
And like when your old man's up in the booth too, like.
Yeah. Oh my God. So.
It just, I don't know what the stat was. It might have been over the last five races or the season. It was just bad because it compared him to the people around him that were doing better than him. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. It just put it into perspective that I never had before that. And I'm like, ooh, okay, maybe it's time for me to dial back and he no longer gets my benefit of the doubt.
I've been beating this drum all season. And it's not a personal thing. I like Harrison Burton. The Burton family, like their legacy team, their legacy family in our sport. Like I love Jeb, that snake catching son of a bitch, and I love Jeff and you know and Ward, obviously. Harrison is just he's got the talent. That's where my problem comes into play, but he's got the Xfinity talent.
He has Xfinity talent. Yeah. He doesn't have Cup talent yet.
That could change, but
like he, not to get into the woods, but I thought he was a little over his head. And when he went to Gibbs in the first place, I was like, I don't know if you're ready for Gibbs yet. And then like a season with Gibbs and he jumps up to the Cup Series, you go, you're definitely not ready for the Cup Series. Did he win an Xfinity Series race? Maybe one.
I think one.
Yeah.
I think one.
The one season, I think he won four.
Did he? I don't know. All I know is
his last one, I think it was only like one race though in his last season there. Matt, I think you're right. Like his first year in the car. I mean, that car was a great car. That 20 GGR car.
That 20 was a championship winning car. like championship level caliber equipment. Dude, he had six sub 30th place finishes this season.
That's crazy.
He has back to back 35th place finishes at Darlington and Kansas in the beginning of the playoffs.
So he did, he had in 2020, the COVID year, he had four wins. And then after that, he did not have a win. He had one more full season in Xfinity before going up. So he had two full seasons in Xfinity. First year, he had four wins. Next year, he had nothing. And then he went up, and it's like, wait a second. What am I missing?
Yeah. I hope they're paying Jeff Burton well in the NBC booth to keep Harrison's career going, because I'm sure that's exactly what's going on. But we are heading to...
Marty, you've got to come back with me.
Where?
The next NASCAR Cup race. It's the weekend preview.
And we're heading to Martinsville. What's up?
That sounder actually was perfect, because you said we're heading to, and then it starts with Marty. We're heading to Marty.
Yeah, we are heading to Marty. Marty, what's up, Doc? We're heading to Martinsville, Xfinity on track Saturday, 3:30 on USA for the Dead On Tools 250, and then Cup on track Sunday, 2 p.m. on NBC for the Xfinity 500. Going to be a long one. I'm excited. I have high hopes. And Eric, you said you were going to sales pitch us. And Matt, you said, isn't there something we have to get to in the picks area? Matt, you...
Yep. Yep,
okay.
Yep,
all right.
Eric has a sales pitch. Let him do that.
And... All right.
Oh no, it's the weather this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
At Martinsville. That's, it looks like it's going to be 75 to 80 degrees and sunny. So we've never had a really warm day at Martinsville with this tire, with this new, you know,
the quote unquote
short track changes they made on this car. So maybe for once we could see if those changes really made a difference, and if the heat being on the racetrack and it being a lot warmer out there will make a difference with this next gen car on the short track. So pay attention to the weather this weekend and the temperatures, and if we see a good race, how much maybe did that affect it?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a track position race. I think Saturday is going to be very important, where you end up in shaking out. But I am excited to see if the track temperatures do change anything, because yeah, the last three races, it's been like 50 degrees and lower, and you can't pass, 'cause it's like you're driving on rocks in your tires. They're all pumped up with cold air. But Matt, first let's just review where we were. We actually have a tie. Eric, you picked the winner, Christopher Bell. He got you 42 points. I picked Tyler Reddick. He also got me 42 points. And then Matt, you came in last. You picked the barrel guy, Kyle Larson. He got you 21 points, which he still got you a decent amount of points. I've surpassed you in the total point standings, though. I am now 4 points above you in the old Winston Cup standings. So we are
all-time choke job going on right now. If you go back to, I believe, the beginning of the playoffs, I had
like
a 100-point lead on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now I'm down four with two races left, and I don't know. I thought I had a safe. I think I even said it last week. I'm going with a safe bet.
You did.
He had a boneheaded move into the barrels, but
I got my chisel out, and I'm just chipping away, baby, just chipping away. But since I don't know how to, since we did tie, I was going to say like, oh, well,
I already know who I'm picking. So if you pick him, I already know who I want to pick going into it. So.
I was going to say you picked the winner though. So I was going to make you go last, but then it feels like I'm putting myself in an advantage. So Matt, how about you choose who picks? You pick first, and then after you pick, just tell us who should pick next.
Well, I think the order needs to be set before I pick.
Okay.
I would say, me personally, if it was up to me, I would say Eric picked the winner, so he picks last.
Okay. Well, you're picking first regardless. So, okay. So Eric picks last. Okay. All right.
So we're talking about William Byron, right? So this is what I wanted to bring up for the picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's plus 30 to the good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a weird strategy for him. It's one of those deals where I don't think this is as safe as a pick as one might assume. He obviously runs well at Martinsville, things of that nature. He's won there. But if he's plus 30 to the good and he has a good, solid Let's just say he wins stage one and he mathematically locks himself into the championship. Does he take the rest of the race easy, or does he just continue to race his race? Because I think mathematically, either stage one or stage two, he can get himself locked in without winning before the race is even over. I think so.
Well, let's see, because Ryan Blaney is 10 to the good, right? So if Blaney wins two stages, that gives him 20 points. And like, we'll just say Byron gets no stage points. Now they've tied each other. And now it depends on their finishing position. So I think it really depends on Blaney, where Blaney is. Like, Blaney and Byron are going to be racing each other points wise, no matter what. I think I don't think William Byron has enough to mathematically lock himself in, unless Blaney has a disastrous first.
I'm sure Bob has already tweeted this, but either way, let's just say okay. Well, I guess I say
tiebreakers. So I think I think it's more or less what Whitey's saying. I think there's more likely a chance that there's a tie rather than someone locking themselves in,
unless
Bob posted all the tiebreaker finishes,
dude. Plus 40, though, that's a race worth of points right there. That's I seriously think all he has to do is win a stage or get good stage points of one and two, and he locks himself in.
But that's the thing. He's only 20 points above Ryan Blaney right now.
That's true.
So like he needs to gain enough points to lock himself in. Well,
or, I'm sorry, I keep saying plus 40. It's plus 30.
It's plus 30.
So, that changes things a bit. So anyway, I say all that to pretty much say this. I'm going with William Byron. I think he's going to win the race. He's, like I said before, Hendrick is so good at Martinsville. He's so good at Martinsville.
We call him Slick Willie Two Clocks for a reason, right?
Yes, exactly. So Slick Willie Two Clocks becomes Slick Willie Three Clocks.
Mm-hmm. How about who am I going to pick then? Jeez. William Byron would have been my pick. Christopher Bell's always my second pick on short tracks, but he just won. Does he go hard or does he focus on Phoenix? I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin. Historically, him and Martin Truex Jr., how many wins do they have combined with each other? I think Hamlin gets himself.
Eight. I think it's eight. I think he has five. I think Truex is three.
I think Denny doesn't want to miss the playoffs or the round of four like he did last year. I think he's going to go out there and put his entire effort into winning this race at all costs. So I'm going with Denny Hamlin.
And this works out. It couldn't work out any better for me because, you know, Matt, when he was making his pick, who did he talk about?
Ryan Blaney?
William Byron.
William Byron?
Ryan Blaney.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, Whitey, with your pick, who was involved in an on-track incident this past week?
Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin.
And I think Ryan Blaney is hungry to get his first final four appearance. And he's already plus 10. He's running really well. Came in third in this race last year. He has that Penske mojo, Joey Logano. I'm going to do the little sneak attack and make my way in going for him.
Yeah.
So I think if Denny is going for the win after the hack job last week that kind of ruined Blaney's momentum at the end of that race, I don't think Blaney even allows Denny to get to the playoffs, even if Blaney doesn't win. But I'm going with the 12 of Blaney. He was hungry this past week. Christopher Bell was hungry the week before. He didn't get it done. And I think in the playoffs, playoff drivers win. And in order to be a championship driver, you got to win to get in. Let's go, Ryan Blaney, in that 12 car.
I like it. I would love that to unfold. On track. That would be absolutely amazing. And we'll find out
trend two of this round, because we saw Christopher Bell back in Vegas have a lights out race, be just a second behind Larson. And then now we saw Blaney have a lights out race and come close in Homestead. So just keep that trend going. Okay, we've saw it building. Now he's going to get that win.
And if you look at the first couple races of the playoffs, whoever came in second won the next week. Ryan Blaney came in second here. He might win the next week. Last week, Christopher Bell came in second. He won the next week. NASCAR, I see your numbers. I see the I see the sequence here. But we'll find out. We are 8 races into the 2023 playoffs. We only have 2 races left to go, boys. I know it felt like a long season, but now that the end is here, I'm like, really? Really? We're near the end? This is the end already? I can't believe it. Time flies. Chris Buescher, unfortunately, he needs a win to get himself into the round of 4. He is minus 43 points. Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. also pretty much need a win. They are minus 17 points. Tyler Reddick is minus 10 points. Ryan Blaney is 10 points to the good. William Byron is 30 points to the good. And we know Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell will run for a championship in 2 weeks in Phoenix. Who will be the next two to get them locked in? We'll find out this Sunday, 2 p.m. on NBC for the Xfinity 500, and we will break it all down for you right here on the Bump and Run podcast. For Matt the Statman Riley, for Eric Daytona Ron, I'm Michael D. White saying have a good night.
The Bump and Run!
There it is!